Welcome, we are in Maseches Tainis, Daf Beis Amud Aleph, about two-thirds down the Amud, the second word of the line, which is Vilisni. Vilisni mei masai maskirin givuros kishamim. The Gemara suggests that when the Mishnah introduces Mashiva Ruach Amor Negashem, it should just simply use the formulation maskirin givuros kishamim, that we mention the givura, the strength of rain, the power of rain. Why does the Mishnah go ahead and add this qualifying description of givuros kishamim? My givuros kishamim, the power of rain. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan, says Rabbi Yochanan, v'nei sheyardim bigvura, because in describing rain, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu's providing rain to the world, it is associated with the concept of givura, the concept of strength. And we see this in the following series of psukim. Shenemar, as the pasuk says in Iyov, Osek gedol asarein cheker v'niflo asarein mispar. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu performs great things ad ein cheker, beyond understanding, v'niflos, and wonders ad ein mispar, that cannot even be counted. So the Gemara says uksiv, and it also says hanosein matar al pnei aretz v'shaleach mayim al pnei chutzos. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives rain on the land, v'shaleach mayim, and he sends water al pnei chutzos, on the outskirts. Says the Gemara, my mashma. So how does that tell you that rain is associated with givura, with the concept of strength? Amar Rabba Bar Shila, says Rabba Bar Shila, asya cheker cheker mibriyasa shel olam. We have a comparison between rain in the psukim in Iyov, and it's a discussion in the Mefarshim, exactly which psukim we're referencing here in Iyov. There are different girsos. But we connect that to the briyasa shel olam, to the creation of the world. Ksiv hacha, it says over here, osa gedolos ad ein cheker, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu performs great things beyond understanding, employing the word cheker, v'ksiv hasam, and it says with respect to briyasa olam, halo yadata, did you not know? Im lo shamata, have you not heard? Elokei olam Hashem borei kitzos ha'aretz lo yiaf lo yiga ein cheker l'svun aso. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the creator of the world, of the entire world, of all the ends of the world, does not tire, he does not become weak, in cheker litvunaso, his understanding is beyond, his wisdom is beyond understanding. Uksiv, and it also says, mechin harim bikocho nezar bikvura. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who was mechin, who prepared, who set up the mountains with his strength, nezar bikvura. He is Nezar, he's girded with strength, with power. And so therefore you see a connection in Briyaso Shel Olam between rain and between the concept of Givura, the concept of power. The word Cheker is used with respect to describing HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world of rain. The word Cheker is used in respect to describing HaKadosh Baruch Hu's creation of the world. The creation of the world is associated with Givura, hence rain also is associated with Gvura. And perhaps this is for us to understand that the creation of the world, the Briyaso Shel Olam, we all understand, is done with strength, is done with Gvura. To be able to create Yesh Me'ayin, to be able to create something from nothing, so that, of course, is a manifestation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's great strength. But rain, as we experience it, is part of the natural systems of the earth. It's part of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does in order to run the world. So maybe once the world is created, that which occurs as a phenomenon in nature, that is less of a manifestation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Gevura, as it has become part of the patterns of existence that we've come to expect. So says the Gemara, no, that this, we have to understand that the experience of rain, which we could perhaps ascribe in some way to the natural phenomenon, the meteorological realities of how the world operates, is also simply an extension of the Briyaso Shel Olam. It is as extraordinary, and it is as expressive of HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the creator of the world and the driver of its existence, as the original Briyaso Shel Olam. In fact, if you look at the Rambam, when he describes what it means to believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, one of the themes that the Rambam develops extensively is the notion that there is a primary force that runs the world. That when we look around at all of the different, specifically all of the different natural phenomena that occur throughout the world, that seem themselves to somehow be on autopilot, that seems to be occurring on their own, We have to recognize that everything comes from an original source. Everything is powered by original source. If you deny that original source, you are denying the essence of existence itself. And so therefore, the Gemara is perhaps creating this connection between the concept of rain and the concept of Briyasa Shel Olam. And we have to understand also that rain as a life-sustaining force, even though it's something we've come to expect as part of the patterns of existence, it is as much a part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu ensuring and preserving our vitality and existence as creating us in the first place. And this is the challenge of our emunah. Very often, when it comes to the initiating experiences of creation, we can relate and see the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When it comes to the aspects of life that seem to just persevere, so then it becomes harder and harder to relate with emunah. And that's why it's not enough to just be mazkir ala gesham. It's not enough to just mention rain. It has to be mentioned bigvura. We have to understand that every time a drop falls from the sky, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu further creating the world, creating the opportunity for that seed, that piece of natural substance that was put in dirt to be able to grow and to be able to blossom and to be able to become a life force in sustaining humanity and sustaining the world. The Gemara goes on to now ask, Uminalon de bitfila. Okay, so we have to be maskir geshamim. There has to be some opportunity in the context of religious life to affirm HaKadosh Baruch Hu's role in providing rain for the world. But uminalon de bitfila. How do you know that that has to be done particularly in the context of tefillah? Maybe there should be some sort of ritual associated with a chag. Maybe there should be something we should do with some sort of maisa hamitzvah. Why in tefillah? How do you know it's part of tefillah? The Tanya we learned in a braisa, la'ahava es Hashem elokeichem lovdo b'chol levavchem. The pasuk says that we are supposed to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu and we are supposed to serve Him with all of our heart. It's hard to understand what is a service of the heart. So I understand if you want to serve a king, you want to provide things for the king, you want to contribute to the king's treasure, you want to accomplish various tasks on behalf of the king. I understand what it means to serve a king. But what is la'avdo b'chol levavchem? How do you serve with your heart? Service is generally something that's done in physicality. So says the Gemara, Ezuhi avoda shehi b'lev. What does it mean to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with our heart? Avi omer zu tefila. That refers to the experience of tefila. V'ksiv basrei, and it says immediately afterwards, in those psukim, v'nasati mitar arzechem, bi'ito yoreu malkosh. That if you serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this avoda shehi b'lev, you will experience the bracha of rain. It will come in its proper time. And this, therefore, connects and associates the experience of tefillah with the concept of geshem. And therefore, says the Gemara, you should include geshem in tefillah. This Gemara is also the source of the Rambam's formulation in Sefer HaMitzvos, Mitzvah Hei, as well as in Hilchas Tefillah, that tefillah is do'raisa. After all, look at the Gemara in Tainas Daf Beis Amud Aleph, it seems to be explicit that there's a pasuk in the Torah that directs us to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Whether or not all of the different details relating to how we engage in tefillah, they may be derabbanan, the zmanim may be derabbanan, the formulations may be derabbanan, how many times a day may be derabbanan, but the notion that we reach out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and we daven every single day, that, says the Rambam, seems to be midoraisa. The Ramban famously counters this assertion in the Sefer HaMitzvos, and he writes, this Gemara is an asmachta. This Gemara does not mean to extrapolate from these psukim that there's a mitzvah d'oraisa of tefillah. And it does seem, says the Magen Avram, that we paskin like the Ramban when it comes to various scenarios where we have to account for whether or not tefillah is halachically classified as d'oraisa or d'rabbanan. Even the Ramban does admit that tefillah in some contexts is probably d'oraisa. Tefillah be'es tzara. If a tefillah is in reaction to a great challenge or a great tragedy or something that's going on, so that itself may be certainly midoraisa. The Aruch HaShulchan develops the notion that according to the Ramban never meant to say that tefillah is a classic mitzvah de Rabbanon. There are many mitzvos that are formulated by the Rabbanon, but their foundational source and power is certainly rooted as a doraisa. He quotes as an example certain aspects of Shmira Shabbos that the Rabbanan may have instituted and may have explicated, but nevertheless, without them, Shabbos, even the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu envisioned it, would not occur, and therefore those mitzvos, even if in technical classification they are considered mitzvos derabanan, they are nevertheless really considered mitzvos d'oraisa. Then there's the famous opinion of Reb Chaim. Reb Chaim believed that even though we would classify tefillah as a mitzvah derabanan, that's only in terms of its status as a mitzvah chiyuvis, in the mandate to go ahead and engage in tefillah, the obligation each and every day to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But when we speak of the mitzvah as a mitzvah kiyumis, when we speak about what happens when you actually do engage in tefillah, that, says Reb Chaim, is unquestionably the fulfillment of Dvar Hashem, and therefore that has the status of a doraisa. That's what we know, that in the beginning of Sefer Bereishis, when Adam is created, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu says, Adam ayin la'avodes ha'adama, that the rain did not come because Adam had not yet worked on the earth. That is because he had not yet engaged in the experience of tefillah. When we speak of tefillah as a avoda shebelev, Sir Rabbi Soloveitchik, in the sefer that collects his various ideas on the concepts of tefillah, Rav Soloveitchik would explain that there are two categories, two larger categories of mitzvos. There are mitzvos masios, there are mitzvos that really entail an action, and that's the totality of the experience. So when I pick up a lulav, it's a nice thing to have in mind all of the various insights and ideas and philosophical perspectives that are associated with Dalet Minim, the concept of the unity of the Jewish people, water as a sustaining force in the world itself, all of the different symbols as we relate to of the Dalet Minim, but those are not integral and essential and fundamental to the fulfillment of the mitzvah. As long as you are picking up the Dalet Minim with some degree of consciousness and intentionality, you fulfill the mitzvah. You fulfill the mitzvah of Dalet Minim. That's one category of mitzvos where we're just required to engage in a particular action. There's another category of mitzvos which are more experiential, which are more internal. Mitzvos that relate to emuna. Mitzvos that relate to things that are going on almost entirely within us. And within those mitzvos, so there are two categories, says the Rav. One category does refer to things like emuna, which are almost exclusively in the mind and in the heart, and the other refers to mitzvos that are split between what is an action that is supposed to accomplish something concrete that is intended to evoke or manifest an internal emotion that we're ultimately striving for. So for example, Simchas Yontif. Our goal is to create an inner sense of joy, an inner sense of serenity and happiness and enthusiasm that is related to the Yontif experience. But we do so through the bringing of various karbonos, as the Rambam describes, through perhaps purchasing things for our family. There are actions that we do that both drive and manifest the inner emotion that we're trying to accomplish. Avelos. Avelos is obviously related to a set of inner emotions. We're trying to both affirm those emotions and express those emotions. But there are particular halachos. There are things that we do that are able to guide that overall experience. Says the Rav, tefillah is one of the primary examples of that last category. It's an avoda shebelev. It is something that is intended to relate to an inner experience, but it is intended to do so through external manifestations. And so therefore, we don't relate to tefillah as simply an inner meditative experience. We don't just go into a room and connect to God spiritually and talk to Him without doing anything, without saying anything. But we also do not engage tefillah simply by saying the words and reading all sorts of paragraphs that we may not understand and don't appreciate and perhaps are not focused on. The true avodah shebelev is when those two worlds come together. When tefillah is an articulation and a formulation with a formal structure of expression of our connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, our desire to draw close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's an expression of our relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it is a request for things from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but it also represents and manifests an inner relationship, an inner connection that both propels our tefillah and is itself reinforced by our tefillah. It is the ultimate avoda shebelev. This is a very common theme in the Rav's thinking on tefillah, this balance of sort of structure and individual experience, that we are trying to at one time say certain words, do certain things. You bow here, you stand up there, you take a step back over here, you say this paragraph and that paragraph. That's the avoda. The lev, it's what's behind it. The avoda shebelev is the effort that we make to try to bring those two worlds together. Ezui avoda shebelev. And tefillah is an avoda. You can't possibly accomplish that without a tremendous amount of work. And that work is not only in waking up in the morning and saying the words that are expected of us, but that work is in trying to understand tefillah, both what the words mean and what's behind them and what emotions we're trying to connect to, so that we bring the world of kavana and the world of articulation of the tefillos together, and we create the ultimate avoda shebelev. The Gemara then goes on to say, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Gimel Maftechos B'yado Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There are three keys that are always in the hands of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Shelo Nimsru B'yad Shliach, that are not given to any emissary. Ve'eluhein, and these are the three keys. These are the three things, as Tosfos explains, even though there are particular points in Jewish history where perhaps human beings were given the capacity to control these things, or some of these things, nevertheless, they were never granted that opportunity on a permanent basis. On a consistent basis, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hashgacha is extremely direct when it comes to these three areas of life. And what are the three areas of life? The Elu Hein, Mafteach Shel Geshamim, the key of rain, Mafteach Shel Chaya, the key of childbirth, Mafteach Shel Tchias HaMeisim, and the key of Tchias HaMeisim, of the resurrection of the dead. Mafteach Shel Geshamim, how do we know the key of rain? So says the Gemara, Dechsev, Yiftach Hashem Lecha Es Otsaro Hatov Es HaShamayim Laseis Mitar Artzecha Be'ito. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yiftach Hashem, you will open Hashem Lecha, Yiftach Hashem Lecha, that Hashem will open for you, but it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu that's opening it, Es Otsaro, his Otsar, his storehouse, Hatov, that's good, and what storehouse is that? Es HaShamayim, the heavens, Laseis Mitar Artzecha Be'ito, to provide rain for Arzacha, for your land, Be'ito, in its proper time. Mafteach Shel Chaya, how do you know that the key of childbirth rests with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Dechsiv, as it is written, Vayizkor Elohim is Rachel, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu remembered Rachel, Vayishma Eleha Elohim Vayivtach es Rachma, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu listened to her, and he ultimately opened her womb. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu intervened and provided for her a child. Many people get married and consider it a very natural thing to just go ahead and progress from getting married to having children. But as we know, there are many, many people in this world for whom that is a tremendous struggle. And it's something that we have to remember as a community that is built so much around just our rituals and our experiences and our shuls and our language is built so much around the notion of family, that is not a reality in its traditional sense for many, many people in our community. And this is a great challenge, that while we want to have tremendous passion for the centrality of children in Jewish life, at the same time, we also strive to create an environment of sensitivity for those for whom this is not something that is coming as directly, and to be incredibly supportive, not just financially and in terms of emotionally, but also as a community in terms of what we say and how we talk and where we prioritize things. And it's something to think about. Mafteach Shel, and that is ultimately up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it's also for us, for those of us who have been blessed with children, to recognize that even though obviously that process is one that we could account for biologically and we can somewhat understand, that at the end of the day, it's still a tremendous bracha. This is part of the theme of Maseches Tainus, of the beginning of the Masechta, to appreciate how things that have become embedded as part of the natural human experience really ultimately are coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that really is the key to the whole world of Tainus, the whole world of addressing when these things are withheld, and how we react to them, and not to react in a way that does not involve a sense of commitment to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We'll get to that soon in terms of what the whole nature of the Masechta is. We obviously haven't said a word about a tainus, about a fast, so we'll discuss that soon. Mafteach Shel Tchias HaMeisim, the key of Tchias HaMeisim, Minayin Dechsiv Yedatim Ki Ani Hashem B'Pischa Es Kvurosecha. And you will recognize that I am HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that I am Hashem, and when I open up your kvuros, your graves, So that shows it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu directly. Be'ma'arava Amri, in Ma'arava, in Eretz Yisrael, they used to say, Af Mavteach Shel Parnasa. The Mavteach of Parnasa is also something that doesn't come through a Shliach, it only comes through HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Dichsib, Poseach Es Yodecha. That you have to, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you Hashem, open your hand, and you ultimately support or sustain the desire of every living entity in the world. For Rabbi Yochanan, my time aloko chashiv laha. How come you don't include Parnasa? That seems to be a pretty explicit pasuk. So the Gemara says the reason is Amar lecha gishamim hainu Parnasa. So he says no, Parnasa of course is on the list of things that only come from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Again, another aspect of life that we think is part of just the momentum of living. We go to work, we get a paycheck. That's something that's coming from our boss, from our company, from our institution. But says the Gemara, no, that is really coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. And so therefore, it may not be classified independently, but it is part of the list, and it is subsumed under the concept of Geshem. Geshem referring not only to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hashkacha and control and direction when it comes to the life-sustaining force of rain from an agricultural perspective, but more generalized with regards to all sustenance in how we achieve parnasa, that too comes directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu.